daily for Anti-Friday.
Yeah.
This is how it is. You know, whatever. But, you know, I guess we could say at this moment that brings us closer to playing Jackbox again. And thank you to everyone who came out to play.
And we had a great time playing poker.
Oh, indeed we did.
I even won. So next month, whenever...
time to take your crown.
Right? Oh, try to beat me.
So I guess we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll figure out if we know anything. Hi, everybody. By the way, we're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The kind of place that you know and apparently come visit every now and again.
They love us.
The folks bringing it to you today, well, the lady just like, oh, so we're really doing this whole actual school thing again? And it's going to go fine? All right, it's the Flinstress.
A pessimist is what an optimist calls a realist.
And that's how you have to look at it. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
All right, so listen, why don't you give me a call when you want to start taking things a little more seriously? Here's my card.
Hold on to that. What happened, you?
Well, let's take it back to 1630. Popcorn is introduced to the pilgrims by an Indian named Katakapina. Popcorn... he delivered it in deerskin bags as his contribution to the first Thanksgiving dinner. They had been enjoying popcorn for more than 1,000 years before the arrival of the European colonizers.
Good stuff. 1774, the English House of Lords rules that authors do not have perpetual copyright. Hear that, Disney?
1819, Spain sells Florida to the United States for $5 million as part of the Adams-Onis Treaty.
1828, German biochemist Frederick Wohler informs Jacob Berzelius that he has synthesized the organic chemical urea, which was formerly found only in urine.
This made fake pee!
It marks the first time a chemical produced only by living organisms has ever been synthesized, and that's the one he went with.
That's pretty cool. In 1924, the first presidential radio address broadcast from the White House is delivered by Calvin Coolidge. The address is carried on 5 stations with an estimated 5 million listeners.
1965, the Soviet Union launches Cosmos 57 into Earth orbit.
In 1986, the first Swedish satellite, Viking, is launched aboard Ariane 1 rocket.
1989, renowned physicist Stephen Hawking publicly denounces the Star Wars project as a, quote, deliberate fraud.
Wow. 93, the made-for-television movie Babylon 5, The Gathering, directed by Richard Compton, starring Michael O'Hare, Tamlin Tamita, Jerry Doyle and Mira Furlan premieres. The movie will serve as a pilot episode for the science fiction television series Babylon 5.
Oh! 1996, Disney launches the Disney.com website to provide a travel guide to its Disneyland, Walt Disney World amusement parks and take all your data now.
Wow. Same year, the Space Shuttle Columbia is launched on its 19th mission, STS-75. During the mission, it conducts experiments involving the second flight of a tethered satellite. During the course of the experiment, the tether breaks and the satellite is lost. But you learn something even with failure, right, people?
1997, in Roslyn, Scotland, scientists announced they have successfully cloned an adult sheep named Dolly from an adult somatic cell using the process of nuclear transfer. So nuclear sheep.
Poor Dolly. That's actually a really sad story. 2007, Apple and Cisco announced an agreement under which both companies will use the iPhone name worldwide. Cisco acquired the iPhone trademark with Infogear Technology Corporation in June 2000. In October 2006, Apple had been granted trademarks in Australia and Singapore. I wonder what will happen with that.
2008, researchers at Princeton University announced that the discovery of a technique by which chilling DRAM with compressed air causes it to retain data long after the computer is shut down. Using this technique, the security keys used to encrypt data can be recovered, remain, allowing encrypted systems to be compromised.
Oh, not so chill. 2012, a radio broadcast reveals that the attempt to destroy the asteroid Matilda failed. Maybe if they tried waltzing with it.
Birthdays.
Zach Roerig is 36. That's Matt on VD.
Drew Barrymore is 46 from E.T., Firestarter, Charlie's Angels, Whip It.
Yes. Thomas Jane is 52, The Punisher, Deep Blue Sea, Jonah Hex in the animated short.
Jerry Ryan is 53, 7 of 9 on Voyager.
She's good on Picard as well.
Quite well.
Rachel Dratch is 55 from SNL, 30 Rock. Rachel Dratch's Midnight Snack and really funny on Billy on the Street.
Ed Boon is 57, co-creator of Mortal Kombat.
Finish him. Kyle MacLachlan is 62, Agent Cooper from Twin Peaks, Dune, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Portlandia.
Ellen Green is 70, Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Pushing Daisies.
John Ashton is 73. That's Taggart from Beverly Hills Cop. And One Baby Gone.
Judy Cornwall is 81, Daisy from Keeping Up Appearances.
James Hong is 92, that's Lo Pan, in Big Trouble in Little China, and Po's dad in Kung Fu Panda.
Rebecca Scholl is 92, that's Faye from Wings.
Paul Dooley is 93, the dad from 16 Candles and Strange Bro.
No longer with us, born in 1732, George Washington, American general and politician, first president of the United States. Don't hit me with the technicality, I know what I'm saying.
1907, Robert Young, Father Knows Best, and Dr. Kildare.
1918, Don Pardo, an American radio and television announcer.
1925, Edward Gorey, American illustrator and poet.
1938, Barry Dennen from Batman, Superman 3, and Shock Treatment.
Not going to be on TV tonight, but on CBS we'll get A New The Neighborhood. Bob Hart's Abishola and Emily and Sam oppose each other in court during a case in which a mentally unwell young man faces the consequences of attacking his father on an all-new All Rise. Anna Newell.
ABC's got The Bachelor, and the medical staff treats a successful philanthropist who's hiding a dark secret. Hackers threaten to disrupt the work of life-saving machines in the hospital on The Good Doctor.
Huh. NBC, aw, snap, crackle, slop on a new Ellen's Game of Games. If you're not first, you're blast on another Ellen's Game of Games and The Wall.
Fox has a new 911. Then Owen and TK put their lives on the line to rescue two brothers stuck inside a homemade minefield on a new 911 Lone Star.
Yikes. On the CW, a new All-American, and then Jefferson feels even more lost following a frustrating therapy session that leads to a whirlwind of emotions overwhelming him on a new Black Lightning.
Freeform is National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
AMC is showing Escape Plan.
Bravo has a new Below Deck in which, you know, there's some kind of petty dramas.
On the FX2, answering all the questions, The Equalizer 2.
FXX, Simpsons Marathon, you got your Clown in the Dumps, Treehouse of Horror, XXV, and Simpsorama.
Mm. On FXM, catch Spy.
Sundance has Sahara. Remember that was a film?
Yeah. Also, Sci-Fi has Enemy of the State.
Better than people think it is. TNT, Wilford invites Audrey to join him on Big Alice. And while Leighton and Audrey have a plan in place, Wilford has his own in the works on a new Snowpiercer.
True TV, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Science Channel, a new Mysteries of the Abandoned. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. An aspiring writer struggles to make enough money to get those ends to meet. So she takes a job as an executive assistant to a wealthy business titan with a massive salary and perks.
But
finds a life of splendor can have deadly consequences.
Oh, no.
Lauren York and Aubrey Reynolds star in Her Deadly Sugar Daddy.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby is enjoying her new job as the executive housekeeper for a once very popular hotel. All is not as it seems, though, as a room on the upper floor seems to have acquired a flute-playing ghost. Abby and her manager, Stefan, decide to do some investigating to learn the truth. Abby's not gonna quit even though her El Camino is still packed. Now that she has Stanley's gig, she is not giving it up. Even with a good job offer over at Pryor's Place. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
I love Huckleberry Finn. I've gotten different stuff from it every time I've read it. Wait, Clark Kent is Superman? But Clark wears glasses.
How can that be?
Stay gold, Pony Boy. Stay gold. I wanted to love Cherry Coke. I just didn't, and it didn't grow on me. Homer Hickam's brother was my high school's football coach and history teacher. I don't believe he was a fan of October Sky. Broadchurch is amazing. Whoa, Billy, way to kick a guy when he's down. I don't even remember what that was. I have lots of fur. Maybe I'm not fat either. That is from Mark.
Okay.
And that makes perfect sense if you've heard shows from the past. So thank you.
Mark did all right at poker, but he didn't beat you or me.
That is true. But he did figure out that last week Chad and Abby were on a show called Lady Blue, as did quite a few people. And congratulations to all. And hey, Mark, so far, you still have the fewest correct guesses so far. It's a number. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send a voicemail, send a text mail message. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
It's lower than 100.
Do you like to study? Are you kind to creatures of all shapes and sizes? Do you believe in monsters? Then Baron Davis and the Monster Rangers want you. Monsters hide in plain sight. Boys and girls can see them, and so can you if you just use Baron Davis's patented Imaginate process involving self-discipline, wonder, and candy. Monster Rangers are kind, honorable, spooky, thrifty, and irreverent, while the evil Dr. Duke Davis and his plug uglies are mean, full of bunk, and your run-of-the-mill mullygrubs. Join us to help defend the land of Monstru. Monsters around the globe are in trouble and need our help. So if you've got the moxie, then log on to your nearby terminal and go to monsterrangers.com. Believe, study, protect.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
I mean, it's not just me. It's sweet that he says that, but really.
He only had eyes for you, Billy Flynn.
Okay, well, I will take that.
Okay, give me your all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
And what games will we use that giant strength in this week?
Ooh, nestled in the Dragon's Breath Mountains, the city of Ironfire sprawls like some great worm of legend. A legendary producer of fabled dragon steel, Ironfire is a city of industry and invention, where innovation and adventure often make for strange bedfellows. It's said that fortunes are made within those city walls every single day. For those who think to simply walk in and claim their good fortune, though, this city has teeth. Mercenaries ply their trade through the nearly every boulevard, and honor duels are a daily spectacle in the city's many squares. Shadowy business happens in the darker corners, and everyone from merchant mariners to privateers is looking for an opening. Do you have what it takes to forge your path in the City of Steel? That's Cities of Sundara, Ironfire, from Azukhail Games.
Or you can have your players create a band of 4 to 6 heroes and undertake a perilous quest run by a game master. Using the adventures provided in this particular book, rules for making some brand new ones, the GM can craft epic campaigns that take their player characters from 1st to 10th level, gather the old gaming group, and get ready to hit some dungeons. You get 6 classes, detailed rules for magic and equipment, 12 player character races, campaign system heavy on character, light on bookkeeping, make that a little easier, rules for building your own classes, races, and creatures, 2 ways to play, traditional RPG, competitive miniatures, either size, dive right in with 2 pre-made adventures to get your fun going immediately. Goal System Delves from 4 Color Studios.
Nice. Well, how about an ultralight solo, no prep dungeon crawler? Sounds like my kind of game. A system agnostic rule set that can be used as a standalone or a one-shot or as a plug-in for other OSR games. As a standalone game, Harper's Quest uses a roguelike mechanic that lets your future generations fight through the dungeons and with acquired heirlooms and some extra gold to help your lineage along. Why they're in the dungeon and what they're after is entirely up to you. If you're short on time and you want to just kind of relax and roll some dice with some light OSR rules, this game is for you. You need at least 3 D6s, a D8, a D10, a D12, and a D20, or an app that rolls dice if you want. So pay what you want and check out Harper's Quest from Joy Peddler Games.
A group of level 4 adventurers takes on a mission investigating the recent disappearances and murders in the forest near Moe's Winery.
Oh!
And things have gotten worse as time passes, and some people think that the strange chicken-shaped church in the woods has something to do with it. Unknown to all is the fact that an evil cockatrice-worshipping cult calls it a lair. The charismatic cult leaders plan to take over a small town soon, and it's up to the team of valiant warriors to stop the cultist from achieving their ill goals for free. Get Mystery in the Chicken Church from Elven Tower.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. We're still not going to trust that one site telling us about the Blade Runner TV show. Not yet. Not yet. Meanwhile, Disney's classic Chris Hamisoween film, The Nightmare Before Christmas, is finally getting a sequel.
Oh, a movie where Mad Dr. Finkelstein resurrects Oogie Boogie to force feed Sally frog breath for all of eternity.
Well, Disney Publishing has announced a new young adult novel written from the perspective of Sally. It'll be written by Shea Urshan, who explained this new book, written from the point of view of Sally, takes place shortly after the movie ends. It's the yet-to-be-told love story of Sally and Jack, but it's also a coming-of-age story for Sally, as we see her navigate her new royal title as the Pumpkin Queen of Halloween Town.
I sense there's something in the wind. It feels like tragedy's at hand.
The novel will also introduce several new characters and locations. It will hopefully give fans a long-awaited second dose of Sally and Jack and the all-familiar residents of Halloween Town while introducing a new cast of grim, strange characters that I hope readers will love.
What a joy to think of it all we'll have in common. We'll have conversations worth having.
The Nightmare Before Christmas, of course, was directed by Henry Selick and written and produced by Tim Burton, who gets all the credit. The stop-motion musical was released in 1993, went on to receive widespread critical acclaim, with many praising the visual effects, soundtrack, and its story.
As well as keeping Hot Topic in business.
Disney has reportedly been discussing missing a sequel since at least 2001 with both stop motion or CGI, but Burton and Selleck have opposed these sequel plans in the hopes of maintaining the original film's purity. This book allows possibly the only chance we have for a sequel, for it is plain, as anyone can see, was simply meant to be.
Well, Elizabeth Murdoch, Stacey Snyder, and Jane Featherstone's sister's production label, Chernobyl Gangs of London, has scored the film and television rights to James Tynion IV's Image Comics title, The Department of Truth.
Will it give us the origin of Newspeak? I've been double thinking about it.
At this stage, the project is intended to be developed as a series. The story deals with the idea of how conspiracy theories that take hold can shape the fabric of reality.
You know, like having to explain to your friends why your uncle believes in QAnon.
Well, things begin when a former FBI agent joins a mysterious government organization that deals with conspiracies ranging from faked moon landings and faked school shootings to flat earth theories and politicized beliefs with paid crisis actors.
Wait, since when is a comic a documentary?
Tynion, who recently took over the Batman comics at DC, he also wrote The Woods and Something is Killing the Children comics. He will co-write the script, with a search for a co-writer is underway. There was an issue with the original co-writer, but he is in Room 101 now and will do much better in the future.
Mark Wahlberg's production company Unrealistic Ideas is working on a new project about one of the most unrealistic ideas in recent memory.
Quibi?
Based on the reporting done by Jason Garacio, the documentary that they have planned will examine the ultimate South Park Underpants gnome planning company, MoviePass.
Step one, buy a discounted movie ticket. Step two, who knows? Step three, why is there no profit?
In case you have blocked this from your memory, MoviePass was a company that sold you a subscription card for $10 a month, which lets you go to the movie theaters many times as to see as many movies as you wanted.
You see, children, in the olden days, movie theaters were cold boxes where hundreds of people got together to spread germs, spill popcorn, and look at their phone while the most inappropriate time, while looking at big moving pictures of Mark Wahlberg.
As many people at the time pointed out, the company's firmly established practice of selling movie tickets for less than they paid for them, on the assumption that theaters would, like, maybe cut them some popcorn sales or pay for their data, just was not going to be sustainable, which is why MoviePass eventually became a company that would not let you see as many movies as you wanted for $10 a month, but then finally called it quits in 2019.
After showing theaters, they could sell subscription services.
As Garcia's reporting revealed over the years of the company's operation, the whole MoviePass story was driven by the pretty standard get the cash, strip mine the company, get out approach to American business, mixed with just a bit of belief that if you have enough customers, the money should flow. But it did not. Although, thanks to the documentary, MoviePass is going to have the longest end credit scene ever.
Well, interesting science news. NHS doctors have become the first in the world to give children new hearts, which have been brought back to life by a groundbreaking machine.
What, is it the Megavolt Senior? You're welcome, Kenneth Strickfadden fans.
The game-changing technique, known as donation after circulatory death, DCD, sees hearts being reanimated and kept beating outside a human body until they're ready for transplanting.
Oh yeah, and a method similar to the brain storage techniques of Dr. Harafar.
DCD not only allows more hearts to be used, it also allows them to be transported further and gives surgeons and nurses more time. The collaboration between RPH and Cambridge, whose team retrieves the heart, and GOSH, whose team implants the organs, as well as the NHS blood and transplant, represents the first ever use of the DCD technique in a pediatric transplantation anywhere in the world.
These hearts will go on and on.
Near far.
I can't stop them.
Across Britain, there's a shortage of suitable donors, which means the number of children who would benefit from organ transplantation exceeds the number of organs available. Children face longer than average waiting times due to the difficulty of finding the right match, and because the consent rate for pediatric organ donation is much lower than the national average for adults. Thanks to this new tech, that is no longer a problem, and it could bring back the grave robbing industry.
Panasonic is a company that does not shy away from unusual ideas.
The wear space more than proves that.
More than. Its latest experimental device is a companion robot which looks like an inflated cat and includes the ability to fart.
People buy pets for their farts?
The companion is called Nikobo and was developed at Panasonic through a collaboration with Toyohashi University of Technology Mishia Oko Laboratory researchers. The robot can't move around like your robot vacuum, but the base does, like, let swivel movements happen. It can look up and down. The tail can wag back and forth.
Yeah, probably so it can fan the fart at you.
As Nakomo is meant to be a companion, it includes touch sensors so it can react to being stroked or held. A camera allows it to recognize faces, and full sentences of Japanese baby talk will be possible, although initially Nakomo was restricted to saying just single words.
But will it get to smelted delted?
Nakomo is being crowdfunded through the Makawaki platform and has already reached its goal of 10,000 yen, 95,000 bucks here. Each one costs $360 to buy. Panasonic's planning to only make about 320 for now, but if it proves popular, it should be easy to make more. And one thing that can hold back the sales, though, is you're going to need to start paying a $10 monthly subscription after the first 6 months. In return, Nakomo will get regular software updates to include a glowing range of features, you know, like spitting, belching the alphabet, and, on certain models, queefing. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works 9 States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodata.com. Come here, Bill. And yes, I really want to believe the Blade Runner story. I do. I just do, but I don't.
It's got to be more than a rumor.
It's got to be, you know. We like rumors, we do, but anyway.
Rumor has it.
You know? I thought you were going to go Bananarama. I forgot. I forgot Adele is bigger than the 80s in your heart. Drop us a note, what you please. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can send us a voicemail or text message. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREF.
And we'll make those kind of things happen.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
My problem is this place. This place is my tomb. I'm buried here. A young man, a king, a warrior, is entombed in this old man's crippled body. And all I need is a woman. Mr. Burton, a special kind of woman with dragon green eyes to make me whole again, young again, that I may rule the universe from beyond this grave.
Qingdai, the god of the east.
Who, him? This guy?
No, not me, Mr. Burton. My demon, the god I must appease in order to regain my heart, my blood. To a girl with green eyes, to satisfy Qingdai, a girl brave enough to embrace the naked blade. And when I find her, I will marry her.
Never!
Then Qingdai will be happy and my curse will be lifted.
You can go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Indeed!
Or check into a psycho war, whichever comes first, huh?
Jack, will you...
Jack, what? I'm supposed to buy this shit 2,000 years and he can't find one broad to fit the bill? Come on, Dave. You must be doing something seriously wrong.
There have been others, to be sure. There are always others, are there not? You seem to be one who know the difficulties between men and women. How seldom it works out. Yet we all keep trying like fools.